This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming up in an hour's time, as we always do, at 9 o'clock, we'll get to Get a Grip. But it is time to talk a little bit of Browns. And I feel like we've done our best not to stay out of the Browns quarterback conversation because, I mean, we're going to be talking about it. I mean, newsflash, if you haven't realized, it's going to dominate a lot of the conversation around the Browns leading up to the season and probably for a good portion of the season. That's just the way this works. Like, we've been rather, I don't know if I could even call it blessed between Baker and Deshaun, but you knew who the quarterback was probably going to be. So it was never the conversation of who is going to be playing, who should be playing. It was pretty much figured out for the last few years, but you're back in the thick of it. You're back to it. And a lot of it this year is obviously trying to figure out who starts week one. You're going to have to try to find that out and try to get to that answer. And I mentioned as we were leading up to the segment, going in before we got to the break, after the station buzz, Albert Breer sort of commented on this quarterback competition. And I mean, I thought made a very fair point as to what needs to happen over the Cavs offseason. So let's see what Albert had to say.
They're not going into this with no information on these guys. And there's a reason why they held Joe Flacco back in the spring. Kind of gave him, like what I've called with you guys, a first-round bye in the quarterback competition. And right now, they've got a coherent plan. And I think what's difficult about it, guys, is like this isn't a rebuilding team. They won 11 games 2 years ago. You have a lot of proud veterans in that roster who aren't looking for you to make a tournament out of the quarterback situation. You know, like the reality is you want to be fair to the other people on the roster. You want to be in position to build an offense that works for everybody. And you want to give the guys who are going to be on the field in September the opportunity to work within that offense. So I think that that makes it so you at least have to accelerate the process as much as you can. And I'll be interested to see creatively how Kevin Stefanski does that.
So this idea of accelerating the process, which, by the way, I think is Albert nails on the head. Like, it's not a team who's traditionally rebuilding. Like, you don't have the luxury of being like, oh, this is a wash season. Like, I think fans in a lot of ways view it like that. Yeah, the season's probably going to be bad. We're just trying to figure out the quarterback right now. But the guys in the locker room surely don't. Like, Myles Garrett didn't sign here and sign up to come back for an idea of, the first season's going to be a lost season anyway. He didn't sign up for that. Joel Bitonio didn't bypass retirement to sign up for that. And a lot of other veterans in the locker room, your 30-year-old offensive lineman, which there are four of, including Joel, and a lot of the guys on defense, didn't sign up for this to be, we'll win three games and see what happens next year. You want to compete, and you owe it to everybody in that room to try to figure out who your best option is at quarterback. And like Albert said, it's not like you have no profile on the guys coming in. Sure, you brought in two rookies. That's a little bit harder to navigate. But, I mean, you have a 20-year career on Joe Flacco. You have several seasons on Kenny Pickett. And you have long college careers for both Shador and Dylan. You have a sense of what these guys can do and what their ability is. even if it's not on a Browns roster, you should know a pretty good fact of what's happening. But I think the Browns themselves right now, I think are, we could fairly say, a little bit in the mix of trying to figure it out, and certainly we are as well. But I think you have to speed it up for the veterans and just for the fact of trying to do something this year. Even for giving the fans a product and thinking of what you can do and saying that this team is probably better than a lot of people give them credit for and that it's not a lost season and you think they can be competitive, you also have to speed this up. Like when we throw out this idea of, Joe's a veteran and he can step up and basically, on no notice, step into a game. I think Joe's more capable of doing it than anybody else here. I don't think that's a fair way to look at this room and to view a quarterback. I think every guy needs the warm-up. I think for a lot of reasons, you can look at older quarterbacks and say they still need to get reps in with the one, develop chemistry with some of the guys who weren't here when Joe was here. Especially, you know, when you talk about pass catchers and wide receivers, I mean, you have rookie guys, you have guys that Joe really didn't have any success with or just didn't play at all with, like Jerry Jeudy. I would still say that Joe needs those reps too. Even when he came here the first time, and I understand this time slightly different with a better understanding of what the Browns do on offense already. But after you sign him off the couch, it's not like you legitimately picked him up off the couch and went, welcome to the NFL or welcome back to the NFL, put on a helmet and get out on the field. Like, you took a couple of weeks, made sure Joe was comfortable with everything that he had did, gave him a little crash course on the Browns offense, and then said, all right, now you're ready. I don't think it's as simple as, all right, well, we'll give everybody else a chance to run with the ones, and then if it doesn't work, we'll just turn to Joe. Like, you're asking for disaster. You're asking for this offense to be just as bad as it was last year, if that's the case. It's not like Joe is an exceptional quarterback at this point in his career. He's a fine quarterback. He's a guy that you can trust to play a handful of games. You can look at his season in Indy last year. It wasn't perfect. You can look at his time with the Browns. It was far from perfect. Despite winning games, he was not putting together Pro Bowl type numbers. I just think you're going to have to figure this thing out. You're going to have to sort of hit the gas pedal and try and take it and run with it. And you're only going to have so much time to do it, right? We're a week away from training camp actually starting. And you being, again, in the thick of it, in the mix, and having the Browns working together. You got a couple of weeks, and then we're talking preseason football already at your doorstep. You're that close. I mean, kind of an awakening to where we are with the football season. I'll be honest, doesn't feel like we're that close yet, but we are. But you're only a couple of weeks away from preseason football, and at that point, you don't have to have it figured out, but I feel like you have to have a pretty good idea of where these guys stand. And then you're going to get into the in-game reps, which I think are going to make or break the decisions you have. But you should probably have one guy eliminated from that competition at that point. You should probably have a favorite going into that. I think that'll be displayed by the guy that you let run with, you know, the ones or the twos, however you draw it up. And you have joint practices with a couple of other teams. You only have a few different opportunities, realistically six opportunities to go see your guys play real football with helmets on against guys who aren't on the same team as them. And you have to make that decision. You have a handful of weeks. You have about 5-6 weeks to determine that. Again, I don't think that should be a decision that's made, 3 days before you walk into the season. You should probably have your starter figured out a couple of weeks to go, or at least, by the final preseason game, you should be like, all right, here's our starter. Everybody else now jockeying for position later down the line and how prepared you're going to be. And I'll ask you, 216-474-0092, as I talk about how important this is, do you trust the Browns? Do you trust them to get this quarterback competition over with quick enough to actually prepare this team for any sort of success to start the year? And I get it. Like, from a fan perspective, it just doesn't feel that important, right? Because we look at the first six games of the season and how many of us have already chalked up to a minimum of four of those being losses. It's like, the first quarterback is essentially being thrown into the fire. They are a sacrifice of get us through these six games, then we'll actually get to evaluation period. And a big reason why I think a lot of people want Joe to start the year, because you have the best chance to actually get through that and not feel terrible about the team by the end of it. But I think if you're the Browns, that's the last thing you can do about the first 6 weeks of the season. You can't view it that way. You can't just say this is an absolute toss-in and just throw the towel out. But in a lot of ways, fans want to do that. It's not fair. You have to figure out where you're going with this for the sake of your football team. And I don't know that I can trust the Browns to actually do that. They have not showed any sense of urgency early on in this process. And yes, it is early on in this process. We are far from getting this answer. And I think a lot of teams are far from getting to this answer. The problem is all of the other teams are just accepting that they're bad this year. They are in a rebuild. Like, as I look at the Saints and I go, they don't have a quarterback. Yeah, what do they need one for? Best scenario for the Saints this year is I think they lose basically every football game under the sun. And then they get to go in and make a high draft pick that they can be excited about. Again, the Browns are not indicating you that's what they want to do. No football team will, but the Browns are going much in the different direction and have operated this offseason in the opposite direction. It's going to be really tough for, I think, anybody to prove themselves over those 6 weeks, especially a rookie quarterback, which if you're just going to go to the veteran, in a way, tell me you're going to go to the veteran. Like, don't just sugarcoat it and be like, it's a four-man competition. Anybody can win it. No, tell me that you want a veteran to start the season. Speed this process along. Get me to who the real starter is going to be. Until you do that, we're all left standing here, sort of scratching our heads, trying to find out what it is. But and more importantly, so is the team. Everybody in the locker room is also left standing there without an answer. And it's just, it's an unacceptable thing to do to, I think, to the players around you. If you're going to preach and indicate to me you want to compete, show me you want to compete. Show me that you have a quarterback in there that is truly winning the job. And I think from the early analysis, it's easy to say that, yeah, Joe's the quarterback. You want the most talented guy, the guy who could win you the most games? Just about everybody we've talked to has said, yeah, that's Joe Flacco so far. Like in the very early times where we've seen these guys throw, Joe has looked much better than the other three. But if it's not going to be Joe, to the point where it comes down to, I think a lot of us look at it as Joe or Shador. Those are also the guys that it feels like the locker room has sort of rallied around the most. You've had obviously positive words said about Joe. A lot of the guys on this team have played with him, have talked about that. I think you also can look around and go, okay, well, you know, Denzel's came out and talked about how excited he is to play with Joe. Grant Delpit has done similar things on social media. You see David Njoku sort of interacting with him, whether that's, you know, you can claim it as Browns propaganda because they put out the video, or just reality of, you know, Njoku already likes playing with the young quarterback, and that's already something they're pushing. But I think you have to get to it. Like, give me an answer, and I don't know that the Browns are going to get there. I have a bad sneaking suspicion that we're going to get so far into this process, it is going to be a four-man competition up until the final day. That's the way they're going to frame it, and I don't know that we'll truly have an answer other than, you know, pundits and reporters going through and saying, no, it looks like it's going to be Joe. You know, it's probably going to be Joe, but the Browns are going to sit there and tell you, heading into the final preseason game, we'll see what we have on the field. We'll see what's out there. You know, final chance for these guys to make their claim and make that decision 3 days before. If you don't give Joe those reps, watch out. God forbid you don't give somebody else enough reps. Really watch out. That's where you get 0-6 territory. I don't trust the Browns to get me out of that territory, if we're being 100% honest. 216-474-0092. Do you trust the Browns to get a quick enough decision on the quarterback competition for this team to have a fighter's chance weeks 1-6? I say no. Again, I want to hear what you guys have to say. Get to me on X as well, at Volnick Jake, V-O-L-I-N-E-C. Jake, we're not done with Albert Breer, though, because I gave you one very smart thing that I think he said. I also give you a bombshell that he dropped on Afternoon Drive today that would probably make Browns fans not so happy. That's coming up in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on the Fan. Things that you can say about the room, right? As we look at the four guys that are here in Joe, Kenny, and your two rookies. A lot of different ways you can order those guys. A lot of different ways that you can make comments on them. The problem with listening to Albert Breer is he wasn't talking about any of those four.
I think the weird thing about it is, guys, is like despite everything, he's still the most talented quarterback on the roster. And like as much as you invested in him and as much as you still have to invest in him going forward based on the guarantees of the contract, selling on him now, getting rid of him now, just bailing on him now would be selling really low. So, like, even if there's like a 1% chance that the old Deshaun Watson is going to reemerge at some point, you've already been through an entire offseason with him. Like, I don't know. Like, I just sort of feel like, you know, it makes sense to stash him, you know, and see what happens.
There you go. Deshaun, the most talented quarterback still on the roster for the Browns. And the hard thing about this is, because, like, obviously,
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Driving my car on the way to work today. I'm like, oh, Albert Breer's on. Let's listen to Albert Breer. And then my head snaps. Right? And I'm like, oh, that's not what I was expecting today. But it's hard to argue against that being the case. Like, yes, we've watched Deshaun here, and we've watched Deshaun be bad. Like, downright atrocious for this team. I think if you look at the history of it, though, like, okay, I mean, we're not going to make an argument right now that either of the two rookies are more talented than Deshaun, mostly because we haven't seen them play, and I don't think that's a fair assessment to make at all about any quarterback who has spent legitimate time in the NFL. Am I supposed to buy or sell that Kenny Pickett's better than Deshaun Watson is, even the Deshaun that we watched? Like, am I supposed to think that Kenny is significantly better than that guy, like Albert said, on the 1% chance that old Deshaun could shine through? I don't know that I can. Like, Kenny might be more consistent at this point. Can I bank on a four-year-old Joe Flacco being better than that? He's shown recently that he probably is. But it's hard to eliminate everything that's gone down. It just in Deshaun's career prior to getting to Cleveland. I'm not talking about that stuff. We're talking about on-the-field stuff. But it's hard to eliminate that from your brain of like, yeah, Deshaun was once an incredible quarterback that showed a lot of physical skill and was one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the game. Like, obviously, I think a chunk of that is gone, and you can look at Deshaun and say that's never coming back. To say that he's going to be the same quarterback he has been the same 3 years until he retires from football, yeah, I don't know that we can bank on that being true either. Like, Deshaun is not a 35-year-old quarterback where you're like, oh, well, you're so dynamic with his legs and he can't do that anymore. Injuries have hindered that. It's just on Deshaun sort of reinventing himself and becoming a player that's better than he's shown he has. And I don't want that necessarily to happen in a Cleveland uniform. I think we're all pretty good on that front. But yeah, realistically, I think he probably is the most talented guy which is why we had a conversation a couple of weeks. Like, if it came down to it, if neither of the rookies were ready, you only had one veteran on the roster, and it was, you know, an injury, or that guy had played like absolute stank, and it came down to Deshaun, whether or not you would have to turn to him and be okay with it. I don't want that to happen, but if it was reality, I think it's something the Browns would consider. And I think it's something that, as of recently, we've seen the Browns show that it is a potential to them considering more. Like, we know this relationship isn't completely broken. He's taking Shador under his wing. He's still showing up to practice on a regular basis, even though he's not out there. He's showing up to meetings and going through those meetings with the guys, and Shador's talked about him. A couple of the other quarterbacks have talked about him being in the room and the insight he still provides. And for crying out loud, Jimmy Haslam's showing up to the dude's wedding. It's not that fractured, and it's not a far-off thought to sit here and think about the fact that Deshaun probably is the most talented quarterback left. Like, I'd make an argument that Joe's probably ahead of him, just because I've seen Joe make throws that I haven't seen Deshaun really make. In first year, maybe, if you want to make the argument, because the first year was actually like five games, if you want to make the argument the first 2 years, you could talk about knocking off the rust, right? He's got to get better. He has to be able to step up and actually have a chance to get back into the flow of football. After that, it's kind of gone. Yeah, you could probably make, Joe has been a much more talented passer of the football. But talent-wise, watching Deshaun actually be able to still run around a little bit, if he showed he could still do it, can still make passes, I think maybe if you put him in a better situation offensively, if we're talking pure talent, not for the Browns, but hey, just in a quarterback, like, hey, just eliminate it from the Browns record entirely. I think if any other team built this quarterback room and all five guys were healthy, Deshaun probably still wins out. Like, money, not a factor. Deshaun's probably still the most talented quarterback in the room, and you give that guy a shot first. And I think it'd be hard-pressed to find GMs who wouldn't do the same thing and just give Deshaun the runway to go and try to be a quarterback. Again, the time has run its course. You've tried to build an offense for Deshaun, and you said, scrap that, let's go away from it, we're not doing that anymore. It's kind of on the idea that Deshaun would have to buy back in, go completely back to Kevin Stefanski's system, be a completely changed quarterback in the entire course of everything, and do it all over again to make it work. I don't really think that that's really in the cards for Deshaun at this point. I think he's shown, yeah, I'm not really open to doing the Stefanski thing. And at this point, if I'm a Browns fan and you are saying I'm going to do the Stefanski thing, too late, buddy. Like, I gave you the chance to do that over three seasons. You didn't pony up and actually buy into it. Or you weren't good enough to buy into it. Talent-wise, I mean, again, we've talked about this room. Guys, it's as shallow as it gets. It's deep in the terms of you have a ton of guys to turn to, but it's shallow in talent. There might be as much talent in one bone of Patrick Mahomes as there is combined to the four quarterbacks in the Browns roster right now. I get that's a very low statement to make on four NFL-capable quarterbacks potentially, but it's reality. Like, you're looking at four guys who are not a top 32 quarterback likely in the NFL. It's not the statement anybody wants to hear, but it's also probably real. And that's coming from somebody who, again, I still think Joe has it in him to win football games. I'm willing to give Kenny Pickett the opportunity, and I think Shador can still be a very good quarterback in the NFL. You still give the nod to Deshaun at this point. The difference is he's not available till October, and hey, you don't have time to waste. There's about one route to Deshaun actually playing for the Browns. It's the one I've laid out. I don't think anybody's hoping that happens. I don't think anybody's living reality. I'd still rather see the rookies. At that point, I mean, unless you are a team nearing the top of the AFC North and fighting for a division title, I don't want to see Deshaun in the slightest. I'd still rather see the rookies. Even if you are, I still might rather see the rookies. But it was certainly not the bombshell I was expecting to hear from Albert Breer today. I mean, Albert has been far from shy I'm talking about Deshaun, you know, basically not having another opportunity in Cleveland and everything else, and he has not been a great quarterback. And then to throw that into the mix, again, hard to argue. Also, was not expecting to hear it. Michael, you make a claim for somebody else? Somebody else have a higher skill ceiling right now than Deshaun?
Probably not. I mean, again, he was a top five quarterback. We haven't seen it, but it's in there somewhere.
It exists. It might be buried deep down behind like three doors and six locks. It existed at one point.
I will say, it just seems like Albert and a bunch of other people are just assuming they're going to be terrible. And it's going to be a point of, oh, you know, they have two wins in December. Okay, yeah, why not just put Deshaun back out there? Give him another go. And I'm like, I just think it's a bad assumption.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that it's hard to completely close the door on anything. Like, Jimmy's comments made it. I think that the fact that they've clearly shown they've gone through and sort of at least somewhat repaired that relationship enough to be in the same room together, operate with two smiles on their faces. Like, I don't think that's something that you could have done maybe halfway through last year. They're like, this is going terribly, and Deshaun is burning my money. Literally, he could take a lighter to it, and he'd be doing the exact same thing for my franchise right now. I think because you've repaired it, it made it available. But I think the Browns are probably smart enough to realize, if I put fans through that, I'm probably not going to have a job. And, like, what is the incentive? If you say Kevin Stefanski still has control of the quarterback room, what's the incentive for Kevin to turn back to Deshaun? Like, he's made him look nothing but bad. He has not given him an opportunity to flourish. And, I mean, Deshaun allowed Kevin to flourish because Kevin's had to try to work through the problems with Deshaun rather than work through the problems with the offense. So I don't think Kevin would be open to that idea. I don't think Andrew Berry's willing to jump back on there and be like, nah, I mean, let's have a talk, Kevin. Like, maybe it's the best thing for us, because it's definitely not making Andrew Berry look good. It made none of them look great. And just because you're paying him the money, I think, is out the window of it's still good enough to start. Like, yeah, I think overall it probably is a bad assumption, but I also can see where they're coming from. He is on the roster. You are still paying him. Like, it's hard to throw it out as, oh, it just absolutely no chance it happens. I get you can't cut him. You can also basically tell him to stay home. Like, you could tell him, absolutely not, I don't even want you in the building. What's the point of him being in a meeting room other than, oh, let's see what you can do for the rookies, right? Or maybe you want to go somewhere else after your time here in Cleveland is done. We'll be nice enough to allow you to, you know, give off that persona, that image, that you can still do it. We're not going to just throw your entire career down the toilet. No reason on anybody on the Browns side to go down a different route. Like, you could have done it. They didn't. They still have Deshaun in the room. Yes, he helps the rookies. There's also something to be said about a guy still learning the offense that's going to be played this year in a break glass in case of emergency situation. Again, I don't think the Browns would put the fans through it. I think they know what the fans would put them through, which is the ringer, if they actually did go through and do it. But it's, again, just really hard for me to completely rule that out and act as if though it doesn't exist in the slightest. 216-474-0092. Are you buying what Albert is saying? Is Deshaun actually still the most talented quarterback in the Browns room? And I mean, again, if you believe it, is that enough to say maybe you should still play games this year? I still say no, even if it's true. And I imagine a lot of you would agree to. Again, 216-474-0092, an all-star game that went the distance and provided a couple of new interesting things to think about in baseball. We'll get into some of them, our opinions on the games, coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. But we're going to talk to him about some of the summer league performances by Cavs so far. We'll talk to him about a little bit of the offseason news buzzing around right now. And, of course, LeBron watch remains on. Get a grip coming your way at 9 o'clock as well. But I did want to talk a little bit about the All-Star game. Obviously, we couldn't get away from watching it. Like, we had to watch it while we were here, okay? Like, hey, there's nothing else on, all right? I mean, it is exactly, you just have to turn it on. It's everything under the sun that you have to do. And honestly, for the most of the time we were here, it was like, this is basically what I expected it to be, right? It's the National League dominating. The American League was weaker this year. And the American League put up a fight. But there's nothing about the actual game that's noteworthy about talking about, right? The performances out there, it's an all-star game at the end of the day. Guys go out there, some care more than others. Some players maybe shouldn't have been on the field, maybe putting other players in danger, but, you know, that's reality. I'm looking at Shane Smith. It's Shane Smith of the White Sox. I mean, he hit Eugenio Suarez directly in the hand with a bit. Not great. But I did think it was more about looking at the ways that they did some things differently and actually formatting an all-star game in general. Like, the MLB all-star game, I think still, and Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, I think is the most palpable and actual watchable, like all-star event that is left of the major three sports, because I think hockey does it better than anybody. But of the three main sports, it's way better than the NBA All-Star game, way better than the Pro Bowl.
They play baseball. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good start, right?
They play baseball.
You got the leg up on the NFL.
Now, are you talking about the hockey three-on-three that they play? Or are you talking about what they did this past year with the Four Nations thing?
I was more talking about the Four Nations. Three-on-three, yes. Also better.
Really?
I would still rather watch. I mean, maybe not than baseball. Like, baseball would be up there. Three-on-three hockey is still fun. Still an enjoyable thing to watch.
They play hockey at the very least.
Hockey players just care more than any other sport. That's the reality. It's like they walk into an all-star game. They're like, oh, this is still kind of fun. I'm still going to play hockey and give my best. I'm going to give the effort.
I don't know if hockey is really a sport where you can go in and just, you know.
Phone it in.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like, if you're not, you're going to get hurt.
Well, let's be fair. We also didn't think that was possible with football, but we all watched some of the Pro Bowl games, okay? Those guys definitely phoned it in. It was like offensive and defensive linemen. Snap, don't move. All right, just engage in hand blocking and be like, if I can maybe drag a guy down with my arm, I'll try. But this is basically going to be run a deep route or run to the outside, and I'm going to try to pick you up and gently place you on the ground. And more than likely going to lead to a game that has 80 points scored on one.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
One side. Bring back good Pro Bowls, but that's never going to happen. Flag football is here. So I think it's by far the most entertaining. I also thought they did a really good job this year overall, like actually bringing a reason for fans to come and watch. Because obviously we've gone away from the idea that the All-Star Game decides anything in the actual MLB season, right? It used to decide who would host the World Series. That no longer exists. That's not a thing that would happen. But you still get a lot of the interaction that you wouldn't get otherwise, right? You get a little bit of different broadcasters, obviously a more laxed approach to it. You had a ton of in-game interviews where you're actually talking to the players. We had something that we never see in baseball, which I thought was really cool, which is the Clayton Kershaw interaction, where they're actually talking to him as he's throwing a pitch. And he's like, what do you want me to throw here? Cutter inside. I don't throw a cutter. And then it proceeds to spike the pitch in the dirt, which is kind of funny. But that's exactly why it doesn't happen in game, and those guys are actually locked in. But you got the inside of Kershaw pitching in the real moment. You got the player standing on the field, which I know sometimes the ESPN broadcasts do already, but But you got it in more of a like real viewpoint of like they're actually talking to the player. You have that one-on-one experience that baseball has struggled to create. And I think you also saw a lot of other cool things. I actually really enjoyed it. I don't know if I was the only person. Like, you can add in the ABS challenge system tomorrow. Like, I think of the All-Star game, seeing it at the Major League level, like, we saw it in spring training, but I don't think a ton of people are watching spring training. Seeing it on the All-Star level at the national stage and actually playing an impact into the game. We saw Tarek Skubal challenge a pitch.
Yeah, didn't he challenge, like, the second pitch of the game or something? Or
it was, like, the fourth pitch of the game. It was an 0-2 count. Threw a pitch that he thought was a strike, was called the ball, challenged it, got the strikeout. And we also saw, I think it was Kyle Stowers of the Miami Marlins, late in the game, a slider came in. I think it was in the ninth inning. I think it was like the second out in the ninth inning. They were knocking on the door to potentially walking off the game. And it was a slider like at the knees. And he was like, I don't even know that he fully believed it was like a ball on arguably like it's a bad call. But it was kind of one of those moments where like you use it or lose it. And it was a very close pitch. And the players had it figured out. There was no hesitation. Like, I know Tarek did it. Kyle Stowers did it. I want to say Edwin Diaz also challenged the pitch. Where, they were immediate. It was hand immediately to the head as soon as they disagreed. They had it figured out. The guys felt comfortable with it. In the Stowers one was maybe the one thing I don't like about the ABS, which is the fact that it, like, grazed the strike zone by, like, a seam of the baseball. They were like, still strike. I don't know that we need to get that technical. But that's kind of what it's there for. It's the same thing of, like, and it's a very similar system in a way to what tennis uses, where it's like, yeah, sorry, we're literally determining this by like the individual hairs coming off of the ball. They hit the line, it's in.
It's the same for any of the soccer fans out there. VAR is the same way. Goal line technology, how they determine offside literally by like a toenail. Like it's some of it gets ridiculous, but
yeah, sorry. If your foot was pointed at a different angle, you would have been on sides, but your spike actually created an offside. Yeah. Like VAR is also something, it's a little ticky tacky, but you're asking for that to be in the game. And I think in the most cases, like it's not going to be the Kyle Stowers situation where it's like, oh, that one nicked the zone. It pays a massive impact in the game. Again, that was sort of a use it or lose it type of situation. Like if you got a ball out of it, great. If not, well, you weren't probably going to use it at any point anyway. Like, it didn't take over the game. It wasn't taking the umpire's discretion away from the game. It just made it so, hey, it's a bad call, like on the Tarek Skubal strike, which the entire ball was almost in the zone. It's like, yeah, let's correct that. Let's make sure this is right. And I liked it. I think that, again, you could add that to baseball tomorrow, and I'd be satisfied. Like, I would not be upset about it. Now, the more controversial of the two things, I think, was the ending of the game. Which, instead of playing extras in any capacity, we played pseudo home run derby, 9 swings per team, 3 on each side, and for 3 players, 3 swings apiece on each side. But, like, I mean, that's not anything, right? Like, that we can't add that into baseball. That's too niche.
For an all-star game, it was perfect. Absolutely perfect. I have no issues with it. There's no reason to play extra innings in the all-star game. In the regular season, if you actually implemented that, it'd be catastrophic. It'd ruin the game.
It'd really ruin it for the Guardians.
You and I were talking in the back with Anthony Lamp before the show started. Like, imagine the Yankees and the Guardians going to extra innings, and you can elect 3 players that you still have in the game at the time. The Yankees go like, yeah, you know, I'll just go Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Cody Bellinger, you go. Yeah. And the Guardians go, okay, we can send Jose Ramirez up there, but oh, we already took Kyle Manzardo out, so Will Wilson, you're going to have to take 3 swings.
I'll take Jackenzie Noel, who might swing and miss at a pitch. Do we go to Jonathan Rodriguez?
Daniel Schneeman.
I mean, can we make sure there's a right-hander? Can somebody throw the pitch? Right? Like, it's never going to go into a game. I agree with you, though. It was really good for an all-star game. Like, it brought excitement that I think extra innings really wouldn't have brought because, like, you saw what the NL did. The NL unloaded the bullpen at the end of the game. They brought in Edwin Diaz, and they're like, listen, Robert Suarez does not have it tonight. We have 1 pitcher left, and we're not going to extras. Let's just get Edwin Diaz into the game. And the AL, I feel like, kind of used it as, if we get to this point, the guys who might not have a chance to play, you'll go up and take the swings. Your Jonathan Arnautas, Brent Rooker got into the game. Who was the third one for the AL? It wasn't Stephen Kwan. That's good.
Oh my gosh, I'm blanking. He hit 1 home run.
I can't think of who it is off the top of my head. Listen, Boone caught so much flack for what happened, and I think we finally got clarity after the fact of like, no, they had to pick them a day ahead of time. Which, I still think we probably could have picked better players. I think he also had to pick players that were still going to be at the game because apparently Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge just walked away after they were done.
Tarek Skubal was watching the home run derby in like this button down like black shirt, like with a chain on. He had clearly taken a shower already. It was like, yeah, have a night.
Which, to some degree, like, and especially for a pitcher, it's like, okay, I mean, you obviously can't re-enter the game. If you want to go take a shower and come back, like, is it that big of a deal? I feel like your hitters might have probably should have stayed around if, like, this is a possibility. And, like, the very least, we talk about, and, like, a lot of people got very upset at the idea of Jacob Mizorowski being in the All-Star game. And I don't know that I was that upset, but I was a little upset. It's like, I don't think you should probably get 5 starts and make an All-Star game. Like, that feels a little dumb. But, like, we talk about how big of an honor this is, how great this is. If it's that big of an honor, shouldn't, like, Aaron Judge and Shohei be there at the end of the game? Like, shouldn't it be a cool enough thing to watch all of your peers, the guys who you don't spend every day around, actually playing in the game, and you're in this big thing where it's supposed to be AL versus NL, and you're supposed to have some pride for it? Like, I feel like you probably shouldn't leave the game early to go out on the town and do whatever you want to do.
Well, plus, and I don't know what the rules were for what players could be selected, but, you know, for me in the future of this, we want to see Shohei Ohtani against Aaron Judge.
Yep.
Like, we want to see. I don't care if they've exited the game already. Like, at this point of the game, any hitter on the team can hit. But we want to see Shohei Ohtani take 3 swings against Aaron Judge and it be for, like, all the marbles. That would be awesome. I don't want to see Jonathan Aranda taking 3 swings, you know, with Jazz Chisholm. Like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody really does. Like, it should have been no question, by the way. These should have been the guys that were pretty much in the home run derby. I mean, those are the best home run hitters. Obviously, your Judge, your Shohei, I think, a completely different scenario because those are just 2 guys who didn't want to participate in the home run derby. Like, yeah, those are the 2 guys you want to see. Like you said, Jonathan Aranda's, like, I'm sorry, not really a negative to him. Like, he was an all-star. Congrats.
He's hit 9 home runs.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of going and essentially seeing Stephen Kwan in the home run derby. I'm sorry. Not interested. I have the Guardians tweeting guards ball on a 54-mile-an-hour exit velocity single. Thank you very much. Wow, how exciting. Yeah, look at guards ball on display. You mean, sure, he brought home the game's tying run. You mean the weakest hit, actual, like, for a hit ball in the entire All-Star game? Yeah, we're not excited about that. Like, he got lucky and dinked a ball off the end of his bat and ended up being able to beat it out at first. Great, we love Stephen Kwan. I don't know, that's what we should be posting. Like, or maybe just a different caption. Maybe being like, any way to get it done. Look at Kwan. Like, yeah, grit it out, man.
I also love how, like, everyone was like, Stephen Kwan last night did the exact thing that you would expect the Guardians player in the All-Star team to do. And it ended up being super important because it was the game-tying run, but it was just like, yep, of course it was Stephen Kwan, and of course it was an infield single off the end of the bat. Like, yeah. That's exactly who the Guardians are.
Yeah, it summed it up perfectly. By the way, the other guy who swung there for the AL was Randy Arozarena. Again, like, Randy's a good player. Just no. No thanks. Like, I'll bypass that entirely. Even the NL, like, bringing Kyle Stowers out, not that interesting. Like, and he's a good player, just not that interesting. Schwarber, I think, is a fine pick.
Oh, Schwarber was awesome.
Like, Schwarber,
he's built for that.
Yeah, like, that's... He probably should have been in the home run derby, if we're being 100% honest. I'm assuming he declined because he's got enough bombs to warrant it.
Pete Alonso didn't even get to hit. He would have hit third had Aranda actually done something.
Yeah, and I think you can absolutely make the claim for the NL that, like, they put out a respectable, even if it wasn't the Shohei's, and we want Shohei to be there, like, they still put out a respectable. Like, Stowers is still a power hitter, and obviously Schwarber, Alonso, those are 2 guys that either are in or could have competed in home run derbies. The AL was just it was a bad spectacle. Like, again, if you want me to care, if you want me to be bought in, you have to bring out the Aaron Judges and the Shohei Ohtanis. That's what's going to make it worthwhile, and people are going to talk about it for, like, at least a day after. I mean, the MLB All-Star game it's going to get today. Like, I mean, you at least let it bring it through tomorrow. Get me back to baseball starting. All-Star games have just lost their luster as time has gone on. I can watch Shohei Ohtani play any night of the week. Literally any night of the week that I want. I can turn on a Dodgers game. That kind of makes it not as interesting. That's just the world we live in, but you still want the star players out there. Sorry, very few people showed up for Jonathan Aranda. It was about his family and maybe a couple friends. Those are the people who wanted to see Jonathan Aranda. Same with Shane Smith. Probably stop trying to hit players, which he also hit Eugenio Suarez during the season and almost heard it. Like, whole different conversation. Not a great thing. All right. Get a grip coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.